The United Arab Emirates was still a relatively new nation when baby Nadine and her family moved there from Lebanon. They joined the millions of others who chose to settle in what would become one of the fastest-growing economies in the Arab Gulf region. You're listening to Our Global Neighborhood, a weekly conversation with our neighbors who came from abroad and put down roots up north. I'm Kendra Carr. Today, we hear from Nadine Kopti Hogue, who grew up in the Emirates. She and her husband are now raising a family and running a dental practice in Cadillac. I appreciate your taking the time to speak with me. I would like to start with a pronunciation of your name and if you could share a bit about it.
Nadine Kopti Hogue. Culturally, we acquire, all sons and daughters acquire the father's first name as our middle name. So I had always gone by Nadine Ghassan Kopti. And then, of course, that became super long when I married Kyle because I was going to hyphen my name. Kopti, my father has a very, very large family that partly immigrated to Northern America, I do believe, in the 70s, and some stayed in the United Arab Emirates. But they all spelled it differently. So you'll see different variations of spelling, but we all pronounce it the same way, Kopti.
You kind of mentioned the UAE, but can you tell us a little bit about where you're from?
Yes. My parents were both born in Beirut, Lebanon. They met there, and they left when they were probably in their 20s, early to mid-20s, because of the civil war. And they had a baby Nadine, who was only 40 days old, and it wasn't safe to keep the young family. And so at that point, they pursued my uncle's recommendations to move to the United Arab Emirates. You know, Beirut has so much history, and I know that they wouldn't have left if it wasn't such a dire situation.
So what do you remember about your childhood in the UAE?
You know, my parents had a really basic start to life. We had electricity, but they didn't have air conditioning units. It was very humid, very desert-like. It was known for its fishing and for oysters and pearls. So I remember everything being around the beach, little huts. And the buildings were probably no more than two or three stories high. Driving from one place to another, you would just drive through desert. There was not much to see. And then, of course, by the time I was 10, things were starting to change. I left when I was 18. And now when I go back, I don't even recognize it because it's just blossomed. Skyscrapers and lots of people migrating there.
Is that part of the reason why it's changed?
Yes. I know that every time we go back, there's something new to explore and see, you know, whether it's a new hotel or a new skyscraper, the global community, the financial district. It's just become so international.
Can you tell us a little bit about like what it was like attending school in the UAE?
Sure. So the main language over there is Arabic. So all the public schools taught only Arabic. And when there were a lot of expats, which is what we were considered, you had to go to private schools in order to give your child an education that had the English, American, or British influence.
So you attended a school for an expat when you were there?
I did. It was a private school, and it was a British system. So it carried on till 13th grade. They wouldn't issue us a high school diploma unless we were fluent in two languages. So they were pretty strict. I think part of their sense there was that, so we know you are going to pursue colleges and universities outside of the region, and it's going to be very competitive, so you had to be prepared.
How would you describe the role of women in the UAE?
It's definitely changed. So growing up, our particular region was probably the most liberal within the Arab world. And for instance, you know, a lot of people ask me, is it like Saudi Arabia? And it wasn't. Women were permitted to drive. A lot of my teachers taught us, and they were women, the Arabic teachers. Not everybody has to have the traditional attire. They don't have to. If they choose not to cover their hair, that's completely fine. Of course, now it's completely westernized, and you see mothers choose to stay home because of the size of their families.
So family size is still relatively large over there.
Yes, I would say yes.
The UAE is largely a Muslim society, but I understand you are Orthodox Christian.
Correct.
Can you tell us what that experience was like growing up? Was that something that you felt impacted you at all growing up?
No, it was actually a very, very good experience. You know, you just respected their rules, their traditions. Like, for instance, during Ramadan, the Christian kids would kind of like sit in a cafeteria by themselves because the Muslim kids were fasting. So, you know, you just didn't want to eat in front of them respectfully. You didn't want to drink in front of them respectfully. It's harder with kids because sometimes, you know, they just say, hey, my friend is engaging or eating or drinking. I want to do the same thing. And we always had the ability to go to church. We had churches alongside mosques. So we never really felt like you couldn't practice. There was respect if you went somewhere, you just wanted to be dressed appropriately out of respect. It didn't mean you couldn't go to the beach on the weekend and wear your bathing suit, but you probably didn't want to wear something inappropriate when you went to the market, the open market or things like that. But yeah, no, we never felt excluded, if you will.
What is something you wish more people understood about the UAE?
It's a melting pot. It's welcoming. And I know that a lot of the rules and the laws are influenced by some of their religious choices. It's not as strict as you might think. It's a safe place. It's a pretty important U.S. ally, so they are trying to include a lot more of the Western influences and ideas, and within reason. It's very easy to get to. There's a lot to do.
How do you reconcile your desire to be a global citizen while also living in a quaint northern Michigan town?
I love to go to nearby cities whenever possible. You know, even Grand Rapids, but we do gravitate towards urban places around the world. So we're very fortunate that we can do that. And I think that sometimes that's usually where we get our cultural exposure.
Do people ever recognize that you even weren't born in the U.S.?
I don't think so, but they know I look different, you know, and sometimes I speak with an accent, and it depends on who I'm around.
How do you like Northern Michigan?
It's definitely initially it was a very different change. 14 years later, I say it was a good change. We are in a field where there's a shortage, and I think that we're in a position where we're busy, we're productive. It's a good place to raise a family. The winters here are nice when they're full of snow. It's a good move, thinking and considering raising a family and also having a good stable practice.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you for joining us for this week's conversation. You can see images of Nadine, her husband, and their travels on our website at iprnews.org. Thank you to our producer, Karen Siegel, and a special thank you to Nadine for sharing her story.